Okay, we'll be doing brotherly love or brotherly kindness in the month of November. Hopefully it will be an encouragement for all of us to hear what God has to say and then to pattern our lives after our Savior. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 to 8. Let's stand as we read the passage. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. Okay, I'll read verse number 4, you read the verse number 5, then I'll read verse number 6, then we'll all read verse number 7 together. No, hang on, verse 7, then you read verse 7, then we'll read verse 8 all together, alright? 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4, I'll read first. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7. Verse 8 together, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray today that you will help us to understand genuine love. Father, love that can only come from the heart of our Heavenly Father. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in our understanding, and as we just look through, Lord, word for word, what you meant in your heart, when you asked the Apostle Paul to write the greatest love chapter in the Bible. And Father, may we as your children understand the heart of the Father and be able to practice that. Like the early church, which continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Help us, Lord, today to do that too. Lord, we just want to remember, Father, the people who are sick once again. I remember Phoebe was having a fever. We pray that you will raise her up quickly and for Sister Maria taking care of her. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do now. Increase our faith as we hear your word. Change our lives, Lord, and pattern it after Christ. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay, the title of today's topic is Genuine Love from Above? Question mark. When God created Adam and Eve, as we begin, by way of introduction, there was perfect union and perfect relationship with one another. When God created all things, everything was A-OK. Everything was perfect. We need to understand this, because some people sometimes blame God for spoiled relationships, or sometimes they point their finger at God. If God knew this before, why didn't He do anything about it? We need to understand God created all things perfect. Very important. He created all things perfect. God never created spoiled relationships. He created perfect love between people. However, with the entrance of sin, there was a beginning of spoiled relationship, okay, between Adam and Eve. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent had no one else to blame. All right, and that's where we, you know, the thing that when some things go wrong, we point fingers. That's where it all started. Sin, selfishness, pride, lack of tolerance for the other person, impatience. These are all the ingredients for spoiled relationships. Now, when we become Christians, we need to learn God's great commandment. Let's turn to Matthew 22, I think. Matthew 22. You do have to turn to that, right? Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 36. A lawyer came to ask Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? What is the greatest commandment in the law? Matthew chapter 22, And verse 36, I'll read, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? He was looking for one that was the greatest commandment. And Jesus said this, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized 613 Mosaic commandments into one commandment. And if you will do this one commandment, you would have done all the commandments. And what is that one commandment? You will love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. God commands us as Christians who have been saved by the blessed blood of Christ to love God with everything that is us. Okay? This is God's commandment. And then Jesus went on to say the next one. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. The second commandment, there's two. One is you will love God with all your heart. And Jesus said the second one is the same, like unto it, like the first one. Which means that these commandments are interrelated and they are one. You cannot have one without the other. I say again, the Lord Jesus Christ is very clear. You cannot have one of the commandment without the other. And what is the other commandment that Jesus said? It's like unto the first, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Based on this verse, okay, as we settle down, based on this verse, I want to give you four thoughts before I go into 1 Corinthians 13, okay? I'll give you four thoughts. Loving God, number one, is a command. Because God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. The first and great commandment. And you know, Christians, we don't need God to tell us. We should love Him anyway, right? We should love God anyway, because He loved us and He greatly loved us. Okay, number one, loving God is a commandment. Number two, loving each other is a commandment. Loving each other is a commandment. Although our love for one another may not be perfect, but it's still love to one another. It has to be. God says it's a commandment. That is from God's perspective. Third thing I want us to highlight, take note of is, loving one another is a commandment from God, and therefore loving one another for us must be a choice. It is not a feeling. Some people feel that, I feel that I'm in love, or I fell in love kind of thing, okay? Can I say this? You don't fall in love. I said this before. You can fall into lakes, you can fall into the drain, but you don't fall in love. Genuine love is a choice. In other words, when you say I love someone, it means I'm prepared to do all I can for the welfare of the other person. Not what you can do for my welfare. That is not love, that's lust. And that's what I want, is selfishness. The Bible says, 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another. I wanted to check in the Greek tense whether it's in an imperative. It is not. It is actually not in the imperative. It's not a command. Let us has the idea, is what we call in a subjunctive tense. It means that it is a choice tense. Let us. Let us go swimming. Some say, I don't want. The idea of let us means, I give you a choice. Does that make sense? Look, for us, we need to choose what God tells us to choose. Amen? You know, it's interesting how Jesus teaches, and this is for parents. You know how you need to teach your children to choose? Some parents say, I just let my children choose. That's not God's way. God's way is this, I tell my children the right, I tell my children the wrong, and I tell them to choose the right. Does that make sense? Remember, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember before that, Jesus said, don't worry about this. Don't worry about taking care of yourself. God will take care of yourself. If you worry about these earthly things, you're no different from the Gentiles. And then Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Jesus actually tells the people the right decision to make. Okay, and parents, you need to actually, in a very gentle way, in a very firm way, say, yeah, I know you want to choose that, but you know what, God says this, you want this, you know, we need to choose this. And then leave that choice over there. Does that make sense? In the same way, loving someone is a choice. It is a choice. I choose, a husband and wife, when you're married to one another, you choose to love this person. Alright, when we say the marriage vow, what, till death do us part, for sickness, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, whether you have a job or not, I'll still love you. Whether you can pay the bills or not, I still love you. Whether I have wiped out after you when you're 70 years old, I'll still love you. You know, whether you're blind, I'll still love you. That is love, okay? So it's a choice. And finally, love in the Bible is always an action word. Many people today say, oh, the word charity in 1 Corinthians is an unfortunate translation. It's not. During that time, charity is an active thing. It's a benevolence, kindness. Does it make sense? Because in the Bible, genuine love is always an action word. Love always does something. You cannot say that you love someone or love someone and don't do anything about it. Okay? So those are the four thoughts. When Jesus Christ, before He left this world, let's turn to John chapter 13, verse 34. We know this verse, but I just want us to refocus again. The Lord Jesus says, in verse 34, John chapter 13, on the night in which He was going to be betrayed, He told the disciples this. He says, I'm going to leave you. He taught the disciples two things. One, He taught the disciples what it means to serve one another. Remember, He washed the disciples' feet? You know what Jesus was trying to do? Jesus knew that when He left, there's going to be arguments. There's going to be a lot of so-called tension. The world is going to come into so-called the church at that time. And the disciples already was fighting one another. Lord, who is the greatest? Remember? And Jesus had to correct them. The one who is greatest must be the servant of all. Okay? And so, then Jesus went down to John chapter 13, verse 34. He taught them this, a new commandment I give unto you. Do you realize this commandment is not new? It's already given. It has already been given. But why did Jesus say it's new? The word new means afresh. I want us to think of it in a fresh way, within the local church. A new commandment. This commandment I want you to be practiced in the new covenant. I'm giving it to you. When our Savior gives us a commandment, we better listen. Amen? Because we are Bible believers and He's our Savior. Okay? He says, a new commandment I give unto you. What's the new commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Again? Jesus said, you are to love one another as I have loved you, and Jesus died for us. So how should we love one another? How should we love one another? Sorry? By serving one another. Following Christ's example, how should we love one another? If we are going to obey the Bible right, Jesus says, the way I love you, I want you to love one another. You know what He's saying? I died for you. I expect you to die for one another. Can I say this? If we can have that attitude in our hearts, there's nothing we will not do to help one another. Does that make sense? This is what Jesus taught the church, the apostles. In other words, even if I have to sacrifice my sleep, even if I have to sacrifice what I have for someone else, Jesus says, you are to love one another the way I love you. Is it a tall order? No, it's God's order. You know, as I say this, you can read it for yourself. This is the type of love Jesus wants us as Christians to have. Parents, when we have this kind of love, parents will usually have a sacrificial love for their children, usually. Unfortunately, today, many people give up their children. It's a sad thing. It's a sin. When God gives a gift,
We cannot do that because God gave it to us as a gift. But you know what? In the natural affection that God says, we are to love our children to the point that we will give up all other things for our children. Okay, many of our moms have done that. Many of our dads have done that. Where we do all we can to help. Why? Because of that love. And so, but today, love has been so warped. And sadly, that kind of worldly love have crept into the church. But Jesus still holds up the banner in His Bible and says, I command you to love one another as I love you. Why? So by this all men shall know that ye are my disciples. In other words, you have a love that is so different, that is so attractive, there must be something in you that I don't have. Okay, does that make sense? And so, the Lord Jesus commands His church to love one another sacrificially. Okay, after this we're going to go through practically in terms of application, everything, the 15 points, alright, I'm just thinking whether you should cut half, but I think I'd like to just go through all, and I've put it in there for you all, so that you can go back and to review what does love from above means, okay, God's love. What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean when He wants us to love one another? It's very easy to say, oh, I need to love one another sacrificially, but what does it mean? How does it express Himself? How would I know that this person genuinely loves me? Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3. Before I go into the points, I want us to understand the importance of love in any of our relationships. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Okay, those in the FBI have gone through this. You'll probably be very knowledgeable about this. But basically in the Corinthian church, they were speaking in tongues and they were and all kinds of things were happening. You know what Paul says? You can have all these showy gifts, but you have no love in your heart. You're nothing but a gong, gong. Just making a lot of noise. Okay, verse 2. Though I have a gift of prophecy, I can preach very well and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and I have faith to the point that I can even move mountains. My faith is great. I do great things for God. But God says, if you have no love for your brethren, you are nothing. Jesus, Paul actually says, I am nothing. Zero. Nil. Not applicable. Not relevant. Verse 3. And though I can have a sacrificial spirit where I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I give up all my things to someone, and though I give my body to be burnt, and I don't have love, God says I'm a big zero. Can I put it in context? Whatever we do, whether in our work, our family, whether in any area of our endeavor, even in service to God in the church, When our motivation is not love for God and love for each other, God says, I'm not interested. That's what Paul is saying. Paul says, I am nothing. When God looks at, let's say if I as a pastor don't care about you can whatever you do, I don't care. You know, God looks at me and says, Johnny, I'm not interested in your ministry. That's not what I called you to do. In the same way as God calls us into the church, God wants us to love one another. And if our service doesn't have the element of thought whereby I'm doing this because I love Christ and because a brother needs help, I'm going to do it because I love him. We don't have that element. You know what Jesus tells us? Paul tells us? Three words. I am nothing. He says to himself, he actually uses himself as the example. As an apostle Paul, if I can plant all the churches in the world, and I don't care for them. I have no love for them. Paul says, I am nothing. Love is a very important principle of the Christian church today. In fact, as some people have said, a Christian love is a badge of a Christian. It's a badge you wear. Through your life, through your family, through your friends, and you don't care how they treat you, you still do the same. Why? Because that's genuine love. What is genuine love from above, from God, that must be in the heart of every believer? What does Jesus mean to love one another? I'm going to go through 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure many of you have gone through it before. I just want to not only explain to you and then practically apply that. Alright? Number one, charity suffereth long. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Charity suffereth long. The word suffereth long means to be long-spirited. It means to be tolerant. It means to be patient when people have offended you a million times. Charity suffereth long. Apparently it was translated into suffering long by Tyndale, because he believed the idea of patience is I'm suffering. Because you are offended, the person is offending me all the time, but I'm willing to suffer long. I'm willing to suffer long, alright? So the idea there is being patient, to patiently endure. What does it practically mean? It means that whatever offense, intentionally or otherwise, it means when things are not done my way, things are not set my way, things do not go my way, I will accept it quietly, with a cheerful spirit, giving the benefit of the doubt to the other person. That is charity suffering long. Number one. Number two. Charity is kind. The word kind has the idea of acting useful to another person. In other words, let's say I got nothing to eat. And then Brother Robert say, come, Pastor, I give you this, I won't say, I don't use palabok anymore. I'll use pangsit or something. Pastor, you hungry? I give you this, don't know what, cake or something. And he's being useful to me because he's doing something that helps me, being kind. To show, the word kind means to show oneself useful, to act in a kind way. What does it practically mean? Okay, listen. You can follow it along because it's there. It means that I will do whatever is useful to you that will make your life and living better. I will be useful to you. Example, when I was having knee surgery. All right, it's not that I was having knee surgery. There was one brother who, when I was going to be discharged the next day, I could have just taken a cab home. There was one brother who took some hours off, drove his car to the SGH to pick me up and send me home. And he was useful to me. He was kind to me. What a blessing that was. To take time off just to come and fetch me. I was very touched by that. Charity is kind. Charity is kind. You know, he was being kindness means I will do what I can to be useful to you. Number three. Charity envieth not. In verse 4. The word envy means to have a warm feeling. Envy usually have a negative connotation. It also means to be jealous over. Oh, that guy have that, I also want. The warm feeling in the wrong way. You know what I mean? The warm feeling in the wrong way. Charity envious not. The word not there is in the absolute negative. In other words, I won't even have that feeling. In other words, the person is not jealous of what another person have. What does it mean? It means that if I see another person having something that is more expensive, more luxurious, something that God has blessed the other person with, I will not have any desire for it, nor will I be jealous and say, why does not God give me? How come he gets all the good things? We won't even think like that. In fact, we will rejoice. And the reason why God says charity doesn't envy is because of how he affects the other person. Because envy affects our love. Envy affects our love for the other person. Envy is born out of greed, and greed because we are not contented with what God has given to us. Okay? So, charity envieth not. Are you cold behind? Yes. Thank you. Okay. Alright. So, charity envieth not. Number four. Charity vaunteth not itself. Basically, the word vaunteth all simply means to be a braggart. Someone who brags. The word brag means to boast. Do not boast, do not show off. Charity doesn't boast, it does not show off. Okay, I see it all the time in children. When they meet one another, they will say this. Hey, I have this, you know. You have, I don't have, right. Okay, unfortunately, when we grow up, sometimes we do also. Genuine love does not show off. And the reason, that is the reason why in the VBS, especially when we have in the school and there's vending machine, when I was in charge, I said that every child is not supposed to buy drinks from the vending machine. You know why? They are rich children and they are not so rich children. You know, and if the rich children, you know how children will be children, they just, And then all the other children is like, what a sliver. And you make them feel lousy. Does it make sense? Okay? Practically, it means I will not show off. I will not boast. It means that no matter how skillful I am, how knowledgeable I am, how rich I am, how many things I have, I will make no mention of it, no matter how much I've done. I will not brag about it to others. I will not boast about it. Why? Because I love the other person and don't want to put the other person lower than I. Does that make sense? So I won't boast. I know of one Christian. I saw him last. He's about close to 50 now. He's a wonderful Christian, very patient. I didn't realize this about him. He was actually a medical officer. He was a doctor, okay? But he doesn't mention anything about it, alright? And so, he's a song leader in church and all that kind of thing, but very quiet, very humble. And then one day, we were in an officer call, and so I saw his face in the magazine. He was a top officer trainee in his medical officer cadet course. Top. But in the church, he made no mention of it. I don't know about you, but for me, I remember things like this. Because the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thee thyself. You know, I had high respect for this. He was still very quiet. He's still serving the Lord. He has a heart for China. And he's working as a doctor. He loves the Lord. Genuine love doesn't show off, does not boast in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because you care enough for the other person. You don't want to put the other person down. I love the other person and don't want to make the other person feel lousy. Okay? Next point, charity is not puffed up. The word puffed up literally means like a balloon, inflated. Okay? Literally it means charity doesn't have a big head. Big head, alright? It means big ego. He doesn't think himself as, well, I'm better than everyone, man. I can do all this. No, what does it practically mean? It means I will not be proud of my own achievements, but will give glory to God, both privately and publicly, for all that I have and am. Do you realize there is nothing we have that belongs to us, including our skills? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. There is nothing. Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 4, asking the Corinthian church, what do you have that wasn't given to you? What do you have that wasn't given to you? Christians, we need to have that mentality that everything that we have comes from God. And as a result, there's nothing to be proud of. But we can give God the glory. Okay? The next one. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. The word unseemly means to behave himself in what we call an unbecoming way. Okay, what does it mean? It literally means indecent. It literally means selfish. It literally means inconsiderate, rude. In other words, genuine charity is not indecent, will behave itself in an unselfish, considerate way, alright? Does that make sense? And it's not rude. Not rude. So what does it practically mean? It means that I will always behave in a considerate, polite, courteous manner to all men, with a cheerful spirit as I follow the Lord. I will be careful that my life, mannerism, words will not hurt another, even unintentionally. Because I care for the person, I will make sure my whole life doesn't offend another person to make him stumble. Okay? So that means, that is the meaning when Paul says, charity does not behave itself unseemly. The next one, charity seeketh not her own. The word seeketh means to worship. Literally. Seek God. The word seek means to worship. Literally. Okay? Literally, charity is unselfish. Genuine charity, love from above, always thinks about the other person first. What does it practically mean? Okay, listen to this, I like this one. I will always seek the well-being of the other person first. I will seek the comfort of the other person first. I will make sure that the needs of other person is taken care of first. I will seek to ensure the convenience of the other person first. Even if I have to walk a longer way, even if I have to spend a bit more time, even if I have to do a bit more work, even if I will do it because it helps the other person. I will put off my own agenda, even my necessary food and desires, so that the other person or individual will be taken care of. That's God's unselfish love. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up everything to go to the cross. Don't you think God will be very busy? Like managing the world, making sure the world moves in the correct way, making sure things grow. But you know what? He took time off to die for us. He took time off to die for us. Genuine love. Love from above. Number 8. The next one. Charity is not easily provoked. The word provoke means to sharpen. Literally, it means to exasperate, to easily stir up. Okay? This has to do with being easily angered. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9, I believe it's in your verse there. Is it there? Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9. The Bible says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." The Bible says anger rests in the bosom of fools. Based on this verse, we are easily angered because a fool has no control over himself. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he's not going to let God control him. And so I get angry easily. Any small thing that happens, I'll just jump. Genuine love is not easily provoked. Okay, it doesn't have a short fuse. Proverbs 16 verse 32, "He that is slow to anger, he that doesn't get angry easily, slow to anger, is better than the mighty. And he that controlleth his spirit or ruleth his spirit, than he that taketh a city." In other words, if you can control your anger, you are better than Genghis Khan. If you want to put it in perspective, you are better than Alexander the Great. That's what the Bible says. If you can control yourself, you're much better, even better than Yamashita. In the end, he lost anyway. Does it make sense? Because the Bible says that what is better, he that can control his spirit is better than he that taketh a city, a conqueror. That's what the Bible says. Okay? You see, if we lose our anger quickly, it means God does not control us, but we control ourselves. And because if God controls us, we will not lose our cool so fast, because God is love. When God controls us, He will help us to control ourselves. Okay? It means not easily anger. So what does that practically mean? It means when someone did something that irritated me, spoiled my things, upset my day, broke my favorite item, basically if I've offended, I will not lose my cool and be easily provoked. Even when it is deliberate, I will choose not to be easily provoked. I will not allow anger to control me, but using the love of Christ in my heart for the other person, I will choose not to be easily provoked. You know, in this day and age, especially sometimes among people who know the Lord, it's hard. But you know what? We need to ourselves be controlled by the love of Christ. Alright, the next one. Charity thinketh no evil. The word thinketh means literally to take an inventory. You know what's taking an inventory? You know what's an inventory? Like account, okay, in this room we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bulbs, 10 bulbs. And the Bible says, genuine love thinketh no evil. In other words, genuine love is not going to say, okay, 1st of January, 1999, you step on my toes. 2nd of January, you spill my soup. 3rd of January, you pour detergent into my rice. Okay? And I did that before. That was when I was very young. My mom, never I can confess to my mom. It was a long time ago. She was at work. So I was not happy with my brother, so I poured detergent into his rice. And before it, anyway, you're not supposed to copy your pastor when he does wrong. Okay? Alright. And children, don't you dare pour detergent into your brothers or sisters or even worse, your parents' rice, okay? You're not supposed to do that. Don't say, "But Papa, Pastor did that." No. This is one thing I'm saying, no, don't follow my example there, alright? thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Okay? Charity, the word thinketh no evil means I won't despise another person. I will not think the other person as worthless. Thinketh no evil has to do with let me just gather my thoughts. To take an inventory of wrong of another person, okay? It means I will not think depraved, bad, evil, wicked thoughts of another person. I'll give you an example. I know I'm not supposed to say this question, but you know, when you talk to someone, say, no, I'm not supposed to say this, but you know, the zip file just open up, you know? That's thinking evil of people. Okay? We will not conclude or judge anyone in an evil way so as to despise or put him down. Can I say this? Please don't conclude things about people if God is not finished with them. Because the Bible teaches us not to think evil of another person. Because God can change the tide and then judge you or me if you're not careful. That's why genuine love, don't think evil of another person. Okay? What does it practically mean? It means that no matter what another person did or say, that I may think is wrong or is questionable, I will not think evil of the other person. I will always think, no, that's not him. In this context, it's very hard because I cannot control your thoughts, you cannot control mine. But can I give you a principle? Whenever you are tempted to think evil of another person, I just lost my train of thought. Whenever you are tempted to think evil of another person, always think, would you like him to do the same to you? Would you like him to do the same to you? And further on to that, I will always think, the principle I use, and I hope if this is something you feel is useful for you, you can use it, and I say, I will always think good thoughts of the other person until he proves me wrong. Obviously, proves me wrong. Say something to my face to the contrary. Does that make sense? But can I say that genuine love, even after you've been proven wrong, will still think evil of, will not think evil of the person. That's genuine love. Any questions? I don't usually take questions. Does it make sense? Because sometimes we cannot control our thinking. When a person does this straight away, we think evil of the person. God says, don't do that. Give the person the benefit of the doubt. Okay? And I always say, well, for me, in my heart, I believe every Christian wants to serve God. Every Christian in this room loves God. That is my starting point for every Christian. And for those who are in the church, who are serving in ministry, remember this, always give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Start with, they have a heart for God, until they very clearly tell you, I don't believe in God, you can't talk to me anymore. And you keep trying, and they keep doing that. Then you pray, and God has told me, leave that person alone. And let God deal with him. Or when God deals with that person, God have mercy. But you know, we must always start with the premise that this person loves God. But he's struggling with this. This person loves God, but you know there's this area in his life that needs to be worked on. When we start there, we always have love for the person. Does it make sense? Love thinketh evil of no one. Okay? So when someone does something and you think it's suspicious, what will you think? What will you think? You may think, oh, must be this person is doing something that's wrong. Or will you think, this person may need some help and I'm not going to think bad of the other person. Genuine love does not think evil of the other person. The next one. Charity rejoices not in iniquity. The word rejoices not, rejoice means to be cheerful, to be happy, to be well off, to be glad. Charity does not rejoice in sin. Wow, you win $500,000 at the jackpot, wow! Huh? This lady, this hawker who, ching ching, you know, and when that person, no, you must get it back, you know. Christians shouldn't be found there, alright? I hope you're not, I don't think you will go, alright? You have to pay $100 first, alright? I know not because I went, but I know because that's what's reported. Okay? But you know what? Wow, and some Christians, hopefully not, you know, the world will laugh at sin. Wow, he can do that and get away with it. Wow, he good. The Bible's, a Christian will not do that. All right? Youth and teenagers in school, when you see your friends get away with sin, don't think, wow, that guy, not bad. Thy dad also can get away with it. A genuine Christian will not rejoice in sin. In fact, the opposite. The genuine Christian will be saddened by deeds of sin and wrong. When you hear of something or someone doing something wrong, you know what you need to do? And if you know it's true, a genuine Christian will be brokenhearted. Why? Because he loves that person and he knows if that person continues in sin, he's going to destroy his life. And a Christian who is governed by love will not say, suda lah, don't care. Yourself, don't care about you anymore. You cannot do that. A person with genuine, why did you do that? And you will have tears in your heart and perhaps even beg the person, come on, let's get right with God. Genuine love rejoices not in iniquity. What does it practically mean? It means that when someone does not serve God, walks away from the Lord, our hearts become broken and we pray for this person rather than gossip about this person, say things that should not be said about this person. Can I say this? Just because someone walks away from God, doesn't mean he doesn't love God anymore. But it does mean he needs to get right with God. And you know what? What we can do is to pray for the person, encourage the person as much as you can. It must not be things as usual. We have to make clear, if we truly love the person to come back to the truth, we need to be brokenhearted. Genuine love is sad when wrong things are done. Children, you know why your parents are sad? Or maybe have to scold you? You know why sometimes they go overboard with their spanking you? You know why? Because they're frustrated that why can't I help my child do better? Because in the heart of every parent, they love their children so much. I want you to turn out right for God. But if you're going down this, sometimes parents just lose it. And parents, don't lose it, please. Charity controls yourself. Okay? It's self-control. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And children, understand this. Parents cannot rejoice in when we do wrong. Okay? But the next one, the charity rejoices in the truth. When right things are done, charity is glad when the right thing is done, or right is done. Okay, what does it mean? We rejoice when someone actually serves God, someone gets saved. You know what? We need to be jumping for joy. Like Andrew trusted Christ last Sunday, amen? We only had 3 opportunities with him. Previous Sunday, my mom brought, when came the baptism, last Sunday, Russell sat down with him, thank God, he trusted Christ. And we gave him a Vietnamese Bible, a Chinese Bible, English Bible, and gave him a whole stack of Chinese correspondence just to arm him before. I think some of the sisters are going to Vietnam to visit him. Hopefully that will be an encouragement for him as well to keep in the faith. We only had 3 chances, and thank God he trusted Christ. And we rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice when someone chooses to follow the Lord. And when someone does that, you know what? We must back this person up 100%. We need to put our whole... If you're choosing as pastor, if you choose to follow God, for those who put up their hand, you realize last week, about 5 people put up their hand and say, God, I believe you're calling me to full-time in this church. 5 people. And Lord willing, in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll be sending out missionaries, our own, and supporting them. You know what we need to do? We need to put our 100% support with them. Alright? You don't believe in mission boards? Alright? You don't find that in the Bible? Every missionary is sent out by the local church. And we need to follow that pattern. Alright? In Acts chapter 13. We need to rejoice in the truth. Next one. Charity beareth all things. The word beareth, I love this one. The word beareth, not bear. Beareth, in the Greek, means to roof over. Have a roof over. Okay? It has to do with covering up with silence. The word is translated not only to endure what someone else have done wrong to you. It has to do with someone else doing wrong to me. If someone do wrong to me, the Bible says that if you have genuine love for God, you will bear with me. Not only that, the word bear has the idea of covering up in the Greek. To roof over. Does that make sense? Okay? And so, it is consistent with the Bible in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. I'll just read. Hatred stirreth up strife. Can I say this? Whenever there is a contention, whenever there is a strife, the underlying principle and motivation is hatred for the other person. That's what God says. Hatred stirreth up strife. Whenever families are broken up by strife, it's because of two things, hatred and strife. That is what the scriptures teach. Unless you want to say, I don't believe that, you will continue in your strife. Unless you understand, genuine love, the Bible says, covers a multitude of sins. In other words, you can do all the wrong to me, I just don't say anything about it. You can't have a fire if no one strikes the match. You can't have a fire if no one will strike the match. I will choose not to strike the match. I can tell you sometimes it's painful. You want to strike the match because of your sinful nature. But you know what? Genuine love controlled by Christ says, I will not strike the match. You realize one thing? God knows all of our sin. Right? Does God forget our sin after He forgives us? No, He doesn't. How can God forget? Listen to me. God chooses not to remember your sins. Do you realize at the judgment seat, everything we've done wrong, God already knows. He's all knowing. What can you hide from Him? But you know what? He will not even mention anything about that. That's genuine love. All the sins of my past will not be revealed at the judgment seat because Jesus promised me, if you confess it, I'll forgive you and I will remember your sins no more. Hebrews chapter 10. Think clearly. God can never forget anything. He is all-knowing. But you know what He does? I'm not going to bring it up. There are things I have done to you, and some of you have chosen not to bring up because you care for me. Some things you've done to me, I'm not going to bring it up because I care for you. That's genuine love. Because the Bible says charity beareth all things. Not only to endure, but to cover it up. Cover it up. Cover it up. I will bear. What does it practically mean? When people offend me, I will cover it up. I will not mention it to anyone else. I will protect the reputation of the other person. By the way, this is a principle we need to look. Unless the other person spoil the reputation themselves. You can only help so far. You can do all you can to protect the reputation of the other person. But if a person goes ahead and do a boo-boo, he just spoils his own reputation. Does it make sense? In the church, we practice that all the time. As much as we can. As much as we can. Charity beareth all things. So Christians, let's put it this way. As long as we live, people offend us. Amen? In fact, Jesus says, offenses will come. It will come. But you know how we respond to that is a different thing. God wants us to respond in genuine love. Genuine patience, genuine love that says, you can do all kinds of wrong to me. I'm going to bear it, I'm going to cover it. You notice one thing? You notice this example of Jesus? Jesus knew Judas was going to betray Him, right? Did He mention it to anyone? In fact, the other, even if He hinted, the other disciples were blur. He didn't hint anything. In fact, Jesus still called Judas Iscariot friend. Oh, that is so telling for me of the love of Christ. That even when Judas was bringing the soldiers to arrest Jesus, Jesus called him friend. Betrayest thou me with a kiss? You know, do you realize when Jesus died on the cross, He died for Judas Iscariot? Because Jesus, the Bible says Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He included, but Judas Iscariot rejected the Savior. There was nothing Jesus could do. He did all He can to save them. If Judas Iscariot would repent like Peter did, he would be received, but he did not. He did not. Charity beareth all things. Next one. Charity believeth all things. The word believeth all things means to have faith upon the person or the situation. It means to keep on trusting in the Lord regarding the individual or the situation. Now what does it practically mean? No matter how bad the person was to me, no matter how bad the situation is, I will still place faith in the person or in the situation by the grace of God. A good example is in the book of Matthew, I believe, when Jesus was going to give the Great Commission. Do you realize that when Jesus gave the Great Commission to the disciples, some of them doubted Him? You read that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16 and 17. Some of the disciples doubted. But you know what? Jesus still gave the commission. You know why? He believed them. He trusted them. He put faith in them. Parents, we need to trust our children more. When I say trust, children, lest you misunderstand, trust must be earned. I can still believe you based on God's commandment, but over time, God did ask us to be wise. If someone keeps borrowing money from me and doesn't repay, and say, I'll pay you back, after a while, you have to be wise and say, I'm sorry, I cannot give you anymore, because you say about 16,000 times, you won't pay me back. By the way, 16,000 times is too long. I think I hope you're wiser than that. By then, your bank will be empty, I think. But after two or three sessions, and say, you said about four times that you're going to pay me back, you didn't. You know what there? The Bible says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not. The wicked man borroweth and repayeth not. Trust must be earned. You can trust a person, but you know what? Through your deeds, you begin to trust a person more. You know how we can trust Jesus? He has never failed. How many of you will say Jesus failed in your life? Put up your hand. He has never failed. Whether it's good times or bad times, He was with you. Amen? He is a friend that is closer than a brother. That's what the Bible says. He cares for us. He's the perfect friend. And you know what? We need to, you know, such a wonderful feeling that, I'll talk about feeling, that you come into a place and you know that this person trusts you. Actually trusts you. And I can trust. Sometimes I'm told that you believe people too easily. Yes, I do. I do. Because genuine love believeth all things. It believeth all things. It believeth all things. The next one, charity believeth all things. Next one, charity hopeth all things. The word hope means to expect or confide. It means to keep on hoping in the Lord regarding the individual situation. That means sometimes you feel, oh, this situation is just hopeless. This person is hopeless. He will always be like that. Genuine love, interestingly, keeps on hoping. Keeps on hoping. It practically means no matter how bad the situation is, I will keep on hoping, keep on expecting the best. The word hopeth all things in the commentary, they actually say, see the bright side of things and will not despair. In other words, we will keep on hoping, keep on hoping, keep on hoping. Genuine charity will keep on hoping. Second last one, I believe, charity endureth all things. The word endure means to stay under, to remain, to have fortitude, to persevere. This kind of love is when there is nothing left. And this mom has to do all she can to support the five or six children. And she will do everything she can. She will just basically try all she can to protect, to defend the child. And it will endure. All kinds of people may scold her. Parents may go through all kinds of humiliation in order to take care of a child. People may spit on her. People may do different things to her. But you endure all things because you love someone. Does it make sense? Okay? Genuine love endures all things. It doesn't give up. Genuine love never gives up on an individual. Christians, we need to have an attitude that no matter how far a person has gone wrong in sin, we need to keep on believing in that person. Because, get this, the only time God sends a person to hell is when he dies. Which means that there is hope all until the last breath. I know in the Bible there is another teaching that when you keep on resisting God, God does in the middle of your life remove that opportunity. God knows when that is, but we don't. And so our job is to keep on keeping on. until God says, the war is over, the person is dead, stop. This is an encouragement for us never to give up on our parents, our loved ones, or anyone that are close to us. Does that make sense? The Bible says charity endures all things. And you know, when you endure, you have that cheerful spirit. Say, God, because you see, your hope is not in the person, your hope is in God. Does that make sense? Which means that if our hope is in God, then God can do something. You hope in that person, if your hope is in that person can't do anything. You know why we despair sometimes? We put our faith in that person to do right. It's not going to work. When we put our hope in God for that person to do right, then it will work. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And thank God, by the grace of God, house is complete. What about yours? Keep on hoping and begging God, because you cannot change them. God can. Genuine love from God will keep on hope. And when you put your faith in God to hope for the salvation of your loved ones that is to you incorrigible, cannot be changed. But when you look at God, if He can change Paul, He can change anyone. Okay? If He can change Manasseh, you know, those who know in the FBI, you know Manasseh was a rotten king. Terrible king. For 50 years did wickedly. At the end of his life, what? He repented and trusted Christ. At the end of his life, God can still reach down to Manasseh's life in prison and save King Manasseh. Wicked for 50 years. Did many things that corrupted Israel. At the end of the day, God saved him in prison when he repented. No one is outside of the reach of God. God uses us. Christians, we need to have hope. We need to endure. And finally, charity never faileth. If you fail and faint for someone else, the Bible says your strength is small. You are depending on your own love for this person. You need to depend on Christ. In other words, when you can't do it, you know what? You need to get down on your knees and say, God, I can't do it. But you know, I know you can. You need to confess that God can. You need to trust Him and to appropriate His grace and His strength. And God, I know you can. But God, use me as an instrument. You know, my initial title of this message is, Do I Love You? Before I change it to Genuine Love from Above. But the initial title of this message, Do I Love You? Looking at the 15 characteristics, do we fail in any of them? Or how many of us can say, well, 15 upon 15? Even I can't say that. That's why we need Christ. That's why we need Christ. Can I say this? This is even more important as we close. In Matthew 24 verse 12. You have that verse there, right? Matthew 24 verse 12. The Bible says this. Matthew 24 verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound. Jesus talking about the last days. Because sin will abound. The love of many shall wax cold. In the last days, the Bible says, because of the preponderance of sin, because of the spread of sin, because people shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, sin will spread and selfishness will abound. I will do what I want. I don't care whether it hurts anyone else. Jesus said, prophesied 2,000 years ago, in the last days, because sin will abound, the love of many will wax cold. That's why you see many families being broken up and given up. That's why as pastor, I want to challenge Ambassador. God wants us to have His heart to touch lives that are broken. You know how many times as pastor or tracting, and I'm sure some of the brethren have gone, and when I sat at the door and to hear this woman talk about, I was in church last time and see what happened. I was in church last time and this youth leader ran away with this particular person's wife.
And they have to put up with the brokenness of the whole relationship. I believe God has positioned Ambassador Baptist Church with a special mission, not only to win souls, but to put people together. But in order for us to get there, we need to grow in this kind of love. But Roger, only we can't. Yes, we can, but Jesus can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, we need that, even among ourselves, that God will bind us together, super glue us as a church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against that kind of love. Iniquity shall abound. You know, Jesus knew that was going to happen. That's why he gave the commandment in the first place. I command you, if you still treat me as your master, that's what Jesus says, you will love one another. In other words, despite what I think of you, I will still care for you. I've learned this from my pastor in Australia. God didn't call us to like one another. Did you know that? God tells us to love one another. When you like, it's a feeling. Oh, I like this, I like that. No, when you love, it's an action word. I love this person. But some of you, Brother Johnny, I don't think I will ever attain unto that. Then follow what the Bible says. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. We'll be finishing soon. 1 John 2, verse 5. 1 John 2, verse 5. The Bible says, and someone said, but I can't do it. The Bible says, whoso, let's read it together. 1 John 2, verse 5. Ready? 1, 2, begin. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Okay? What do we have to do? When we want the love of God to be matured, in other words, perfected means to be matured. The Bible says, whoso keepeth his word, simple obedience. If God says forgive, forgive. If God says bear ye one another's burdens, and someone shares with you, do all you can to bear that burden with that person. Does it make sense? But Lord, you know, no, I've got no commitment. When we start to give reasons for not obeying God, that's why our love is not matured. I say that again. When we give reasons for not obeying God's word, our love will never be matured. Because the Bible tells us, we know whoso keepeth his word in Christ, verily is the love of God matured. And maybe that's why many Christians are not having their love matured. And as a result, the world cannot depend on us to help them. Many churches are looking to psychology. Many churches are looking to the worldly ways of help. When all we need is Jesus Christ. And I hope in this church, I believe many of you have found answers in your life from God. It will continue to be so. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Not just for salvation. God is still the truth in your broken relationships. Does that make sense? He is still the way to get back to God after you become a Christian and fallen away from Him. He's still the truth. He's still the life. He's still the Christian life. He's still the way you need to live. He's still the way in Christ. Okay? Christians, we need to obey God. As we close, how is your love for one another today? Within the family? How's your love within the family? Is it governed by these 15 principles? Or is it governed by what you think? Can I say this? I know some of you may have gone through painful experiences in your life that you find it hard to love because your love has been so broken by people. You know what you need to do? You need to just abandon yourself totally and say, God, I can't do it anymore. My heart is so broken. But thank God, God specializes in heart surgery. A broken and contrite spirit, God will not despise. If you will just come to Christ with all of your heart, and say, God, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to just let God's word soak. And God, you do the healing in my heart. You'll be excited to find God can change you. that you were so broken in the past, but now you can love with all your heart, because why? God makes that change. How is your love within your relationships that you have, your friends? You know, can I just speak to the men in the church? Our love needs to be strong for one another. We're all different. You better believe it. You look at me, you look at Brother Robert, we're different, amen? You got more hair than me, I think. No, I got more. We're all different. You know, Brother Mike got even more. Brother Taylor got even more than all of us. You know, we're all different. But when God Christ puts us together, we are bound by love. We're saved by His blood, bound by love. And we need to be motivated by the mission that God has given to us in our church. You know, when we have these men all binding together and all their wives supporting and their children just getting under and say, Lord, if this is your will, God, we're going to do it together. You know, I know there are many other people who, and you know, some of you have visited us for many, many years or time. And what is God doing in your heart? I hope that God has blessed you richly too. And is it about time to say, God, I'm going to give my life and love to a group of people that will serve us, serve God together? As we close, I wonder, will we obey God and strengthen our families, our church and our children? You know, parents, our children will only love when we show them what is love. Do we have genuine love from above? You know, all of us can't say that our love is 100%, right? But you know what? We need to ask God, God, purify our love. And you know what Jesus tells us? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And when we do that, guess what? God's going to just going to pour non-believers. Our goal in the Christian life is not to get Christians from other churches. Our goal in our church is to get non-believers saved, purified by Christ, and move on for Christ. Amen? We need to have that goal in our hearts. And you know what? You can just do it simply. Trusting Christ to love, and just love more. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And we ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to us. We'll be singing a song of common love. And we pray that God, you will touch our hearts in a wonderful way. Lord, we've gone through 1 Corinthians 13:4 to 8. Thank you for your grace to help me go through them, Lord. I know it's a lot of points. But I pray, Father, today we will have it clearly in our hearts what thy word says love is. And I pray that whatever that is written, Lord, that they would, we will take back and revise and ask ourselves, Lord, if this is what you say, am I living up to your word? Because your word is a lamp to our feet and light to our path. If we were to follow your word, Lord, even in our relationships, Father, we will be headed toward the bright path. The eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Can I just ask you a few questions? Number one, is your love governed by God's principles? Or you must say your relationships are not all that it should be, and God has spoken to you about it. And say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to obey His word so that His love can be purified in my heart. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. And I'll pray for you that God will strengthen you and purify your love. Is there anyone? My love is not perfect, but I want to ask God to help me to obey Him so that He can purify my love. Is there anyone like that? Amen. I can see that hand. Amen. 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 I see the hand of many, many people putting up. Just put it up, put it down. I pray for you. Thank God. The young children, they are, married people. And you know what? God wants to purify our love. Amen. And love for one another is a glue that holds the church together. Christ saved us by His blood, but God's glue of love binds us together in Him. Is there anyone else? Pastor, pray for me that God will help me to purify my love by obeying God. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. You know, brothers and sisters, amen. I see that hand. Brothers and sisters, as you put up your hands, you put it down, you pray in your heart, God help me to have the love. And God, I need your help. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. I see the hand. Just put it up and put it down and pray in your heart and say, God, I will love the way you tell me, but God, I need your help. I want to spend time with you to understand more, but God, I need your help. Is there anyone else? And some of you may have relationships or
or people that you say, God, I've given up. But today you've given me hope. Go to Christ. Is there anyone like that says, God needs to help me to endure? And this is one area that I'm praying that as God's people, we will encourage one another to endure as we show love to one another. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will teach me genuine love to endure, to persevere, to endure. Is there anyone? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Is there anyone else? God help me to endure. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I know there are little things happening in everyone's heart, but obey God. Start sowing now. The Bible says you will reap if you faint not. Is there anyone else? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray for, I believe, broken hearts at this time. Father, I pray you will pour out your love into our hearts at this time as we make decisions to be clear in our hearts that we will love you no matter what. And God, that if we were to trust people to change, they cannot. But Lord, when we look at you with the love that you have and the strength that you have and the grace that you have, and God, as we hope in you, as we endure all things, Lord, we know and we believe you can make a change. But God, give us the faith to believe. Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. I pray, Father, that our life, I pray for everyone who has put up their hand. I pray for every child who has put up their hand as they are growing up in their life. Lord, if there's something in their life that has affected their love, even as a young child, I pray, God, that you will quickly smoothen it and help them to move forward and just to obey the parents and obey the things they need to do. And the more they obey their parents and the instructions, Lord, their love will be perfected. Father, I pray for every married couple who has put out their hands. God, I do not know what is happening in their heart or their life, but you do. And God, I'm asking you specifically to meet that need there. That God, if there is a lack of faith, that Lord, you will put in faith. If God, if there is a giving up of hope, God, you will put back that hope. To know that God can make the change He has promised. Father, I pray for every young person who has put up their hand. God, perhaps in life things may have happened that will cause them to be discouraged. And Father, perhaps people or things or situations may have happened. But God, I pray with all my heart that God, you will give them, put them back, Lord, onto the platform of faith in your word, that they can do all things through Christ which strengthens them. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for Ambassador as a whole. God, may we become, may our men, oh Lord, be bound together practically by love. And may everyone, Lord, in Ambassador will be bounded together for the honoring of your word, for the working of your ministry, and Father, for the salvation of many souls. Because you promised, Lord, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. As we close, Father, we pray, you help us, Lord, to make this a reality. We know if we will trust your word, it will come to pass. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing a common love. Alright, and sing it from our hearts.